At that time, Jesus was led into the desert by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, we have a perfect gospel for this first Sunday. Perfectly suited, I should say, for this first Sunday of Lent. We've already begun the 40 days, the 40 sacred days of special observance, prayer, penance, and works of charity. And today we will reflect upon temptation. Now we know that Jesus is Almighty God. So how could he possibly be tempted? How could he sin against himself? Well, the answer is, obviously he couldn't. But he did undergo temptation. And one of the interesting things that we see here in the very first sentence is he was led into the desert by the Spirit. And that seems like a contradiction, doesn't it? Again, he's Almighty God. Why would the Holy Ghost be leading him, the Son, into the desert? But this is a reminder of the mystery, how Jesus is both God and man. He's not two persons. He's only one person with two natures, and we will never fully understand that. And the Holy Ghost is leading his human nature into the desert to be tempted. So let's understand that, how that works. Again, we can't fully understand how it works, but we can understand that Jesus' human nature, his human body and soul, acted in a human way. And that human nature of his was led by the Holy Ghost into the desert to be tempted. Now, he is going into the desert to literally eat nothing for 40 days straight. And to make it clear that he didn't eat when nightfall came, it also says 40 nights. So that's where we get the 40 days of Lent from. That Jesus, for 40 straight days. Now we break it up. Our Lent is 46 days long because the six Sundays are also included. They're not days of imposed fast and abstinence. But Jesus did the 40 straight days. So he's setting us an example. He who committed no sin of his own, obviously, he is not eating. He's fasting. He's doing that penance for 40 days. What an example for us. And on top of that, he is going to be tempted. And right away, I think that shows a very key point, what the devil does. He knows us better, I think, than we know ourselves. And he sees us in our vulnerable moments. Just like he saw Jesus in his vulnerable moment. He's extremely hungry. He's famished. His human strength has waned very greatly, as it would for anybody. Aha, now's my moment to tempt. Now, it must be that he did not fully, that not even the devil knew that Jesus was, or at least he could not have fully known that he was God and man, because then he wouldn't have even tried. So God hid certain information from the devil. So the devil saw this opportunity to tempt a very, very holy man. He knew at least that much. And he said, aha, this is the moment of his where he's most vulnerable. So let's remember that. The devil will also look for when we are most vulnerable. And that's where he homes in on us. And we have to be prepared for that. We might also ask, why does God even allow temptation? I mean, isn't temptation a terrible thing that leads people to sin? But remember, we can and we must say no to temptation. We have to fight the temptation. And being tempted forces us to pray more, to humble ourselves more, to sacrifice more, to discipline ourselves better. You see why God allows temptation? Because of all of this good that happens when we fight against temptation. Just like physically we get stronger by going up against resistance, same thing spiritually. We get stronger by fighting. And the imitation of Christ makes a very interesting observation on temptation. It says some people are tempted more at the beginning of life or the earlier part of life. Some are tempted more towards the end of their life. And some are tempted greatly throughout their lives. But God will never allow a temptation to be too great for us to overcome. Remember, two Sundays ago, St. Paul had the thorn of the flesh, and then he begged God to take it away. It very likely was temptation, and God said, "My grace is sufficient." God commands us certain things, the Ten Commandments, so it's not impossible to keep them. And we will have to fight hard against temptation. But with prayer, with a great deal of prayer, we get those graces that we need to successfully fight against temptation. Going back to our Lord, he obviously could not fall into sin, but at least he could suffer the first degree of temptation, and that's indeed what happens in today's gospel. The first step of any temptation is suggestion. The bad idea happens, so to speak. It comes out of nowhere. That's a suggestion. And the devil did suggest three temptations to our Lord. And our Lord taught us how to immediately repel temptation by using Holy Scripture, the power of the Word of God. I hope you have a little collection, each one of you, of verses from Scripture that will help you in time of temptation. And depending on the temptation, there's different verses that can be found in Scripture. Use those to help you to fight that temptation at that moment. The first temptation was that what the devil suggested to our Lord is, indulge yourself, gorge yourself on bread. He knew that our Lord could work miracles, so he said, change these stones into bread. And just have at it, just gorge yourself. And our Lord says, not by bread alone does man live. Our Lord is teaching us to continue to fast from pleasure. And there's such great power in not just prayer, but also fasting. We're reminded of a story from the time that our Lord sent the apostles out to preach the good word, to give blessings, even to cast out demons. And the apostles came back one time and said, there were some demons we could not cast out. And Jesus said, some are cast out only by prayer and fasting. Fasting makes us stronger. Fasting brings down graces and blessings upon us. Fasting makes us more powerful against the devil. And our Lord was telling the apostles, you didn't pray and fast enough. And that's why you couldn't cast out those demons. So the church wisely imposes fast and abstinence on us, and it makes us stronger. It makes us more powerful spiritually, and we conquer sin more readily in our daily lives, and we bring down blessings upon a very sinful world such as we live in. The second temptation, throw yourself off this pinnacle, the angels will catch you. And you know what's fascinating about this? This second temptation is the devil is quoting the Bible. You see how clever he is? He'll even quote something good. In this case, he was quoting from Psalm 90. The angels will bear you up. But he was tempting our Lord to commit a sin of presumption. Just need, for no good reason, throw yourself off and have the angels catch you. We're reminded here too, do not put yourselves into the occasion of sin. There's always a presumption there, putting oneself into the danger of sinning. I'm not talking about remote occasions of sin, slight occasions. I'm talking about great danger of sinning. When we do that, we're presuming on God's grace. I'm strong enough to face this danger, and we're not, and we fall into sin. You see why we're obliged not only to give up sin, but the near occasion of sin. So yes, that is how clever the devil is. He will even quote scripture to get somebody to do something bad, or maybe something that's less good than something, a better good that needs to be done. You're never going to outsmart the devil. This is why we have to have lots of humility, lots of prayer, and seek spiritual guidance. Because the devil can lead people astray quite readily. And then the third temptation, the devil takes off his mask, if there even was one, and now he's showing who he really is and what he wanted. Bow down and worship me. You see, the devil is the biggest loser of all. He's been burning in hell for thousands of years, and he's going to burn in hell eternally. But he gets his satisfaction, you might say, by trying to get people to worship him. And that is literally happening in our modern world. Satanism is on the rise. There are satanic clubs for children in some public schools. He wants to be worshipped. The greatest enemy of God. And we see this in the entertainment industry. This is not something I would watch by any means. But I understand a month or so ago, some kind of annual Hollywood, handing out of awards. It was literal. The message of Satanism was right there. It was satanic. It was diabolical. The devil, when he knows he's gotten to that point, I mean, at first he tries to get people to believe he doesn't exist. Oh, there's no devil. Well, that's a great danger. But he wants to bring people to the place where they will say, yes, I am here, and I want you to worship me. And he's being worshipped in Hollywood. Hollywood has been so indecent, so immoral. Yes, there's been an occasional good movie produced, yes. But this has gone on for so long, so many immoral, indecent films. And it's just a progression. And you know, when people refuse to know, love, and serve the true God, they will always put a substitute God in his place. And that's what the devil is wanting today. And we see it in today's gospel. Put me there instead of God. Maybe it's not that blatant in many cases. People will put maybe drugs as their substitute God. Or alcohol. Or some other forbidden pleasure. The sins of the flesh. Money, power. These are substitute gods. And really, people are putting themselves in place of God. It's the triumph of the love of self instead of the love of God. So we are moved very greatly today then by the example of our Lord fasting in the desert, allowing himself to be tempted, but showing us how much good happens from offering that prayer, offering that sacrifice. And he shows us the great benefit, the good that happens from fighting temptation. And of course, remember, we can't blame everything on the devil. No, our fallen human nature is actually our biggest enemy. Don't be discouraged by the struggle. It can really be, you know, pull you down at times. Oh, it's so, you know, there's so many temptations to fight against. We're really swimming against the current. We really are. As traditional Catholics, as those that are faithful to the true teachings of the church, you know, it's a real effort. It can be so discouraging. But again, let's do the right thing. Let's keep growing. Let's have great confidence in the grace of God. And then we will have happen to us, not necessarily in a visible way or a tangible way, but when Jesus rebuked those temptations, we read, the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The triumph was there. The triumph over temptation. And with God's grace, you will triumph too. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.